This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The time, it's 50 to up to 70% off now. Like, we've hit that sweet spot, 50 to up to 70% off. I don't know if you know, it's still hot out there. Summer is still ongoing. Yeah, then you walk through, like, they got your. I mean, your. I just the stuff that I have from Oak Hall, the summer stuff that I have from Oak Hall, it both looks good, and it's cool. It's comfortable. And but anyway, so it's men's and women's merchandise is on sale. It's tailored goods. It's sports shirts. It's you go in and see for yourself. It is the semi-annual sale that you wait for all year long. The same beautiful clothes and the same unbelievably helpful people, but 50 to up to 70% off. No better time to go see the legendary store that is Oak Hall. Chris Harrington on the other side, then Sam Hardiman's Jeff Calkins Show on a Wednesday, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Many Rivers to Cross by reggae great Jimmy Cliff, 81 years old today.
So the Grizzlies are going to be playing Orlando in Berlin and in London. Have you been to Berlin or London?
I've been to London. I have never been to Berlin.
Do you aspire to go to Berlin?
I'd love to go just about anywhere. I'm a fan of going to places. I think places are cool.
I think places are so cool. Yeah. It was interesting about your South North Dakota trip, because, like, that's not – those wouldn't have been – like, I could have listed – I could have embarked on a long list of places that I would like to go, and those places would not have been on my list. But – they're still cool. Like, and then I saw your photos and everything else. Yeah.
We saw a herd of wild horses on, like, a hilltop in Theodore Roosevelt National Park. What's better than that?
Is that true? Like, they were just out there doing their horse thing?
No, what? There are wild horses, but not like wild deer, wild horses that are there. And there was a certain part of the park that we were told, like, if you're going to see them, they'll be there, but usually you won't see them.
Yeah.
And we drove up, and they were literally standing on this hilltop majestically, like, in a row. It was like one of those beautiful things we, you know, any of us had ever seen.
Yeah.
So shout out North Dakota.
Shout out North Dakota. All right. So they're going to Berlin, and they're going to London. And obviously the downside here is you don't have a Desmond Bain return game this year. And by the time there will be a return game, it'll be a lot of water under that bridge. And then the MLK game on the 25th anniversary of the Grizzlies, 25th season of the Grizzlies, there will be no MLK game and I presume no legacy awards. What do you think?
You know, it's a good opportunity. So there's different angles, I guess, on it. I have no idea whether it's good or bad or indifferent from a competitive standpoint. Like, you'd have to go look and see, like, other teams that have traveled for stuff like this, as they struggled, you know, coming out of it or whatever. I got no idea. But it's only two games, and, like, you know, these guys are used to flying, and so it's probably not a big deal. I don't know how much of a showcase it is for like an American television audience. Cause I tried to think of like the other, like I want to say maybe was it like Pacers and Spurs or something did this last year.
Pacers and Spurs did it last year. Correct.
Right. So it wasn't like a big deal, like for me or for, I think for NBA viewers, but it was probably a big deal in the places that they were.
Right.
And so it's a good experience, I would think, for the players. And then B, it's good exposure within those important markets for the NBA, particularly good exposure for someone like John Morant, you know, who's been on this tour, promotional tour in Southeast Asia lately. So I think it's a cool opportunity for the team to get and hopefully good things will come of it, in terms of the team, in terms of promoting the team. As far as the MLK part of it, that's a bit of a bummer, but like, it's like the NBA took the game away or they just decided not to do it. This is a special circumstance and they'll come back and do it again. And the fact that it happens to be the 25th year in Memphis and you don't have it is sort of an unfortunate coincidence, I guess. But in maybe in some ways, absence will make the heart grow fonder. Maybe it'll freshen up that experience a little bit when you haven't had it for a year.
Yeah, all things considered, this seems like a no-brainer to me. Like, you do it. Like, you have the opportunity to do it, and so it's a no-brainer. And, I mean, I have no idea. You know, when you get an NBA team, one of the things that whatever Kevin Kane or the Chamber of Commerce would say is that that promoting your city across the globe, I don't know the value of that. I don't know if there is any real value of that, but people talk about that. But it is to the extent that any of that stuff matters, being highlighted in a game in Berlin and London would seem to be like, this is partly what you do it for, is to shine a light on the franchise and the city and the players. So were you going
to
say?
To me, an obvious question that jumps out of all this, which taps into a larger primary question for the Grizzlies next season, is like, is John Morant going to play in those games?
Right.
Like, where is the NBA really needs a healthy John Morant in those games, right? And he didn't play more than like five or six straight games like all season last year. And so let's knock on wood and cross fingers and do all the stuff as far as that goes.
Yeah, I immediately thought of that. Will Ja be available for these games? And obviously the one in Germany, there's no question that's a Thomas Isolo showcase. No, it's a Wagner showcase. It's the Orlando, the Wagners are the highlight there. You got to figure and that Ja's presence is part of the reasons the Grizzlies were selected, don't you think?
Well, Ja's the biggest star in those games. You can argue about whether he or Paolo Banchero is a better player or whatever. But the biggest star in those games is John Morant, clearly.
So it's a little bit of a bummer about the MLK game. It is clearly one of the games that we look forward to every year. That is there's always a good opponents on National League, all of that. But they're not saying that it's going away forever. It'll be back next year. And then I don't really care about the Desmond Bane return stuff. I mean, people would like to clap for him if he came back to Memphis. And will, I suppose, someday
get their opportunity eventually.
What's that? Right. Yeah, he'll get the opportunity.
Get their opportunity to do so eventually.
Do you believe they will show a Desmond? Let's say the next time he's in Memphis is in February of 2027, which is very possible, right? Will they play a Desmond Vane video in February of 2027? A welcome back video.
Absolutely.
Really? Oh,
his first time
back, even if it's 2 years hence, they will play the
Desmond Bane is among the better players in franchise history and also a well-loved player history. So yes, he will get his moment whenever it comes.
It is interesting. Of the players who left, like Pau left, but he wasn't as loved, right?
I mean, they were both trades, but it was a different situation in terms of the trade. It was a much, in terms of where he went, in terms of what came back in return and how people felt about the return was very different. And in terms of the circumstances, like Desmond Bane was happy to be here until the moment that he was traded away. And Powell was increasingly looking to get out,
Yeah. You use the phrase return. Yeah. The part of the return I care about with Desmond Bane isn't his return to Memphis, but it's what he returned and how that plays out. It's the Cedric Howard part of the return that I particularly care about. All right, this does bring up, we have Drew assembled and I don't know how he did this breaking news, so he must have, I'm going to guess he had a tip here, but he had assembled a list of every European player who has played for the Grizzlies. And so my charge to you, and I can refresh your names, maybe you can do this off the top of the head, rank the top five European players who have played for the Grizzlies.
Well, the top two are easy. It's just a matter of debating the order, and those are the Gasol brothers.
Yep.
Clearly. Off the top of my head, Santi Aldama might be third unless I'm forgetting someone. He sort of reached that level in terms of multiple seasons.
Well, the only question, and I have someone, I said Santi, but I got some pushback. Someone mentioned Jonas. Who is the greater Grizzly?
Yeah, I mean, Jonas was more important. Jonas had a higher peak. He was a starter, right?
Yep.
Santi has had more longevity. But you know what? I'm gonna go with. I think Jonas. I'm doing this off of the top of my head, so yep. Jonas didn't immediately come to me. I think Jonas is the right choice there at third. He was the starter on a playoff team,
okay.
Which Santi has not been. So I guess that'd put Santi fourth. And then the guys that come immediately to mind after that, I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, or short timers like Juan Carlos Navarro was very good.
Well, you got Benno.
You
got Benno, who was important.
Benno was good. Another short timer. A guy who I really liked early on, and it was a short timer, but I thought was good. It was Gordon Gierichek. And so I'm probably going to go with Navarro there in the fifth spot, unless I'm forgetting somebody.
Navarro, he was probably, I don't know his numbers, he was probably better than Benno. Benno was more important at a team that was more relevant.
He was on a better team. Benno was on a better team. If Juan Carlos Navarro had been on a better team, he would have been.
Yeah.
So you can go either way with that. Those are both fine choices.
So here's the list. Pau, and then Antonis Fatsis, Robert Archibald, who famously was picked ahead of Carlos Boozer in the second round by Jerry Weather, the great Jerry West from England.
The late Robert Archibald, sadly.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's...
he died young.
Gordon Gierichek, Cezary Trebanski, Jake Sakalidis, Juan Carlos Navarro, Darko, Mark, Marko Jarek, Benno Udry, Nick Kalathis, Costa Kufos, who was only Greek in the most, like he was raised in Ohio.
Yeah, I think Kalathis and Kufos are kind of sketchy.
Yeah, they're both sketchy.
Like, Kalathis plays overseas, and I think he's on like the Greek national team, but I think he was born in America. And I don't think he has ancestry that's Greek, but I think he's
Ohio.
American,
I swear he's from Ohio. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is.
Marko Guduric, Jonas, Killian Tilly, Yves Pons, Tosin Ivwom. Do you know him? Or you know who I'm talking about?
Those last two guys, I don't know. They were like 10-day guys and two-way guys and stuff like that.
And then Santi. And that's it. So, and of course, you do have the Isolo connection. I keep learning more things. I think Thomas Isolo is a fascinating guy. Like, his dad, did you know this? This is a Gary Drew story. He was in Germany as a kid because his dad was a Finnish foreign correspondent in East Berlin. And
I remember reading that too. Yeah.
Incredible. And then I think I read that his like parents are sailing around the world. Like he's a fascinating guy. So anyway, all right, there's that. You also wrote about what's happening in Memphis film, as you do every week. Before I do this week's, I wanted to ask you about, last week you mentioned that Slider Inn is showing Police Academy, the original Police Academy at Slider Inn, and that actually happens to be tonight. So it's timely. Okay. You may not have the number. There were like 13 Police Academies. Like
I remember there were seven like theatrical films, and then there was other spinoff material like TV shows and stuff like that. But I think there were 13 feature films in that series.
Did you see them and remember them as being good?
Oh, those are definitely separate things. I saw the first two or three a bunch because I was a kid who like had HBO in the 80s and like no restrictions on basically what I watched. Like,
right.
A lot of time just watching junk on HBO. And so I probably saw the first two or three Police Academy movies many times because they were always on HBO and certainly appealed to like, 10-year-old boys or whatever.
Right.
Were they good? Probably not.
Right.
But I think it's a nostalgic thing for people of the who are in the right place at the right time for them.
I guess from the same basic genre, we've got Naked Gun, the reboot of Naked Gun. I take it you saw the original Naked Gun with
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
That's from the team that did like Airplane and some of those movies.
Yeah.
So it's a much more. I mean, they're both sort of broad comedies, but the Naked Gun stuff is more pure, like rapid fire machine right. gun joke kind of stuff.
Right.
And so much more in the spirit of like a Mad Magazine kind of thing come uh-huh. to life. And so that's sort of what that is. And so, but all I know about the remake is I'm watching the trailer and looking at the cast list, but, and you know, who directed it and all that, but it certainly looks kind of promising. I think Liam Neeson is like the perfect casting to do that. He's basically spoofing himself at this point.
Right.
Cause he's been playing this like, you know, tough guy for the last 15 years since he did the Taken movie.
Right.
So it's almost like he's spoofing his own movies as much as he's trying to reinvent the Naked Gun.
We also have, in terms of, by the way, you said this week's horror is more promising than most. Do you like have favorite?
There's a cheapy horror movie that opens basically every week.
Uh-huh.
And so that's sort of a running mini bit I do as I phrase this week's horror. There's right. always a new horror movie.
This one's Together. What can you tell me about it?
So it's a little bit more of a, like an indie art horror movie. Like it you know, showed at Sundance and you know, came out of the festivals or maybe South by Southwest, maybe both. Came out of the festivals a little bit. It's got a little more of a pedigree like that. Stars Alison Brie and Dave Franco, who are married in real life. And they play a couple who like moves to the country and are trying to, as I understand it, I haven't seen the movie, trying to sort of, you know, reignite the flame in their flickering relationship, basically. And then things take some kind of supernatural horror turn. It got a lot of hype out of the festival stuff early in the year. Now that it's hit theaters, the reception's been a little bit more mixed on it.
I got you. And then finally, you can read, Chris, in addition to the sort of the, you know, what's new in theaters, there's a bunch of special screenings throughout the city. But the other one, the last one I wanted to highlight is there is a sing-along. Grease is being shown at the Orpheum
yep.
Saturday, August 2nd. Did you see Grease in a theater?
I don't remember because I was very young.
Right.
But I saw Grease a bunch. Maybe was it on TV? Like Grease looms large in my childhood because my mother loved Grease.
Really?
And I was like, you know, 5 years old or whatever when it came right. out. But my mother loved Grease and we had the album. I remember having the album in the house. And I remember it being very present in my childhood. At this point, I don't remember
right.
like how I was seeing it, but I just remember it being present.
Grease was
very,
around.
Very deeply rooted in my childhood experiences is the movie Grease.
As you point out, it is kind of funny that some of the high school students in Grease, I think I saw it in the theater, and some of the, yeah, I did. It was right in the sweet spot. It came out in 78, and I graduated from high school in 79. But yeah, some of the high school students were in their 30s at the time.
Travolta, I think, was like, I look at this. Travolta was like 24, 25, which is not that bad
yeah.
for movie casting. Olivia Newton-John was in her late 20s. Stockard Channing was like 35. And there's some other dude who plays one of the greasers, and I didn't look him up, but he looks like he's 42. You know?
That's the best. Anyway, that's at the Orpheum Saturday at 2 p.m. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Len, he was won over. It was in the end, Jonas gets to be the number three European player. You co-sign this now that we've processed this. Santi bumped to four.
I think those two for me were probably the biggest coin flip in all this. One and two, I think, were well clear, and then beyond either Jonas or Santi, it was kind of just a grouping of players.
Would you like to go to, have you been to Berlin or London?
I have only been to Heathrow, just as a layover.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't
sorry,
count.
Where were you going?
I took a semester in Spain.
And you didn't, while you were in Spain, get to London?
No, I took
Didn't you,
my...
like, travel all the every weekend? Isn't that one of the joys of doing the semester abroad?
So, because I was also going over there to work on my thesis.
You were actually working.
I was going to school, everything, so I was trying to collect as much local research.
So where in Spain were you?
I was in Bilbao,
which is
in the far north. So
was it a good semester?
Great semester. Loved it. The weather's perfect. Too much rain for me, but still a great time. I went to a couple other places in Germany, though.
I've never been to Berlin. I've been to London a fair amount, and I covered the Olympics in London, so that was a fairly extended stay in London. But yeah, I would love to go. And fun that the Grizzlies are. Here's the thing, by the way, if you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. But one of the great things, if you do accept a instant cash offer, is the condition doesn't matter. So, for example, Rodney inherits a home. He's one of Josh's recent customers, and Rodney, or clients. Rodney inherits a home, and it's in terrible condition. So what do you do? What do? Do you want to pour money into it? No, you don't want to pour money into it. Let's be honest. We have all, even if it's your own home, though not one you inherited, we've all blown off a maintenance project here or there, and you're like, I'm going to fix this right as I'm leaving. I'm going to pour money into this house that I may or may not get back in this uncertain market. It's another advantage of taking Josh Heisa's instant cash offer, not from one of these, you know, the places that are calling you from 10 year texts from out of town. Go with Josh Heisa, who's from Memphis and wants to make sure that you do get a full market value for your home. What he did with Rodney, came out, he praised the house, told him what it was worth, write him a check. That's like that's simple as that. No showings. It's quick. It's easy. It's one way to sell your home, and particularly in this market, makes a lot of sense. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number is 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Sam Hardiman had the news yesterday about improvements at AutoZone Park. We'll talk to him about that and more when we return. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman covers the city for the Daily Memphian. He's had a busy week, joins me now. And in addition to all that, he's got to be following developments at New England Patriots training camp. What's up with the Pats in training camp, Sam?
Well,
we didn't have you for a minute. We got you.
I'm here. So, well, first, my buddy Connor and I, shout out to Connor, who was just elected former All-State lineman to our high school's Hall of Fame.
Oh, good for him.
Have been exchanging rapid-fire texts about Jared Wilson, the Patriots' third-round pick, guard/center out of Georgia, all-SEC guy last year. And apparently he's been wowing in
Patriots
camp. Wowing. Yeah, he's been standing up. He stood up Christian Barmore and Milton Williams during one-on-ones. I mean, it's absolute. I texted you this the other day, but like, it's absolute silly season that I'm like locked in on like one-on-one offensive lineman drills. Right now.
For me, this is the best time of year because team can't lose, right? And like, there's no real downside, and you can believe that this third round offensive guard is gonna be, you know, is gonna be the next, all pro and possible Hall of Famer.
Yeah, next Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney. I was reaching for the name. I was going to say Zach Martin, but then that's why I was hesitating. I was thinking, Zach Martin here? Should I go with John Hanna? But he was a tackle. Like, where, you know. So, that's the thing. The problem, though, is like, for me, Max Hairston, and I haven't gotten a report on this, the Bills' first-round pick, out with a knee injury, of all things. Just doing drills. Collapse with it. And so that's like devastating. So there are losses that you can incur. The other thing that occurred to me, Sam, is we know this about the guard from Georgia because we're allowed to watch camp. Not we, but journalists are allowed to watch camp. Not all of it, but isn't it interesting that the NFL lets journalists watch camp, which promotes interest in the team and in the league? College football can't. I don't think that's a law. Like, isn't it weird that like there's no way that you like not meaningful reps at college football camps?
I mean, I do find that like weird as just a fan. Like, I didn't even know that. I never really put two and two together. I've never covered a sports event in my life as a journalist, so I don't want to weigh in there. But yeah, that is weird, and you would think that would be particularly like. Since, you know, college sports have sort of become professional sports, like we could just, you know, treat them like the minor leagues they appear to be right now.
It's because the NFL has a commissioner and rules and whatever, and there's someone who runs it. And listen, the Pats don't want you to know which of their guards is playing well, but the rules are, the league thinks we really should get, we need PR here. We got to get the word out about what's happening in camp so people will be interested. And so they make you do it. Whereas in college football, there's no overarching body that runs anything. And so it's why it's kind of a mess. And some teams do allow a little bit of access. I mean, Mike Norvell always used to have allowed tremendous access to the Memphis Tigers. He actually just shut things down at Florida State, which is a bad sign for how things are going for Mike Norvell. Anyway, enough about that. You had, I just in the middle of the day yesterday, I was surprised to see this story at the Daily Memphian. City plans $55 million AutoZone park renovation and mixed use development. And this comes because you evidently discovered a contract between the city and a project management firm. This wasn't announced by either the city or the Redbirds. This was by dint of you finding a contract with a project management firm?
That's right, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, in my free time, as we know, I look at obscure documents. And sometimes obscure documents are interesting, like in the case of the contract the city of Memphis signed with Viesta LLC, which is a project management company, has worked on the project over at the Liberty Park. They've worked at Target Field. They've worked on a lot of things, you know, nationwide. They're a national firm. And what this is, and I don't want to give people false hope. And the headline and the discourse around this is like, yes, this is happening, right? What this is that the city of Memphis has picked a company to run a project. Not that the city of Memphis actually has the money or a plan to do that project, right? This is the plan to make a plan sort of situation, right? But even the plan to make a plan, which is the plan is being a $55 million renovation of AutoZone Park, is news. And it is, you know, a very positive step for those that were concerned about the Redbirds' future. I would imagine, you know, if I were, and you know, the Redbirds issued a statement yesterday that was, you know, sounded excited. I would imagine if you're the Redbirds and Diamond Baseball Holdings, company that owns them, you're sort of starting to feel like mission accomplished. We're going to get, you know, further taxpayer investment in the stadium. And so that's where we are.
That's
this
interesting.
To make a play.
Because you have the sentence in here that I got to, and I'm like, oh, the city of Memphis said in a statement, they're working on a funding plan with Redbird's ownership. So they don't know how they're going to pay for this yet. But the idea is you wouldn't be entering in this contract unless anyone who was worried that they were at an impasse or the city was only planning to come up with $5 million for cosmetic changes or whatever else, this is sort of reassurance that here's what they are planning to do. Yeah, sure, they got to figure out how to make it happen, but is that the essence of it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. Like that this is a signal of commitment, right? Like if you're the city of Memphis, you're not going to just sign this contract as like here you go. Here's right. some crumbs. Like we've hired a project management firm. Like that's not what you're going to do. If you're the city of Memphis, this means, and I'd heard throughout the time with the, you know, from the Young administration, essentially that they were interested in this, you know, and they're just, you know, this is one of the problems that they were handed walking into office, right? Beyond the ongoing FedEx Forum lease negotiations, right? Which is the big one in terms of Memphis sports and government right. interaction. There was also like the Redbirds sort of saying, hey, we got left out in the cold during this whole grand stadium plan. We were part of it. And then we got cut out because there wasn't enough money from the state for us. Help us find money for us. And here we are. And we're starting to see kind of a concrete solution materialize from the Young administration.
So $55 million is the idea here for AutoZone Park renovation. But then in addition, there was mention of a mixed-use development in the area around the ballpark. And are they talking about there, do you imagine, the Walk at Union, which is the large grassy field on Union that never came to pass? Do we know what the mixed-use development is referring to?
We don't know, Jeff, but if you just, you know, use process of elimination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else around the ballpark is built, okay? Right. Like, there are no other places unless you want to count the Avis car rental parking lot, which is not even a quarter acre, I don't think, right? So, like the thing here, like, is the field across the street, which, you know, one would imagine if you were the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm not speaking for the Memphis Grizzlies, I'm just being hypothetical here. The Memphis Grizzlies might want to see something happen with that lot too. You know,
right.
It might be nice to all of a sudden not have like between this nice, you know, aging arena and this nice aging baseball field, this field that is like disheveled. I drive by it every day.
It looks
like,
terrible.
Mowing is not terrible. Exactly regular. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean that site, the former Walk at Union site is by process of elimination, the place that mixed use development could go. Unless you're redeveloping an existing building. Like, I have no sourcing on that right now. It's right. just my processes of elimination. Brain. Look across the street.
All right. So you've got another fascinating story, and I just want to unpack this a little bit because people may have followed along about the fight between the union, the police union, and the city over this new second lieutenant position that had been created. And I gather now it's going to the Tennessee Supreme Court. So, just to back up a little bit, why did the city create this new group of second lieutenants? What was the idea? And why does the union object? I would think they would like to have people who get to be called second lieutenants. Walk us through this like we're idiots.
Yeah, I mean, so first, the city of Memphis, you know, this is what they've said. They've said that the creation of second lieutenant, okay, was essentially to make another frontline supervisor, to have more commanders in the field, more people advising the sergeants. Those sergeants are advising officers, right, about what's happening and more control over situations. And this is happening, keep in mind, you know, the city creates this position after the Department of Justice announces an investigation into them, right? This is, you know, they create this, I think, in late 23. Fact check me on that, somebody. It may be early 24, but creates this position in the wake of the DOJ announcing an investigation to them. And you have the prospect of a consent decree looming down on you. And so the city is sort of reacting to that. They're also reacting to, you know, the horrible event that happened with Tyree Nichols. Okay. Like that is also important.
That was all part of the inspiration.
So that
we're going to have people helping out to make sure we're doing a good job. Right. Yeah.
Right. And so essentially what happens is they don't agree to this with the Memphis Police Association. Okay. And the agreement between the police association and the MPA essentially states that this is supposed to happen. Okay. And that's been the argument from the police association the entire time. The city essentially is arguing, no, we don't really have to do that. And we believe anyone who's interpreted otherwise is wrong. That's why we're going to the Supreme Court, which we'll fast forward to in a minute. But essentially, and these second lieutenants would not have been part of MPA's bargaining unit. They would not have been part of the police.
That's the objection. And they would be elevated from rank and file members of the bargaining unit to lieutenants who would not be part of the bargaining unit. Is that the?
That is correct. That is correct. Yes. And so that is how we essentially got to court. Okay. And we don't need to go anymore, I think, into the minutiae of how we got to court.
I got the essence of it. Okay. So now what's the current? An arbitrator ruled in favor of the union here, and I gather you have uncovered that they have been negotiating back and forth to try to reach a settlement that fell through, and so now it's going to be appealed. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I mean, essentially what we wrote in the Daily Memphian today, and please check it out on our website, support our work, donate, you know, shameless plug as always. But what we wrote today on the Daily Memphian is after the city of Memphis, you know, went to court over this and the police association went to court over this, you know, there was a judge's ruling, local circuit court judge, Amita Dandridge, ruled for the union, said, hey, the city needs to demote these folks. And the city since then has appealed and gone now, when the court of appeals said no to staying Dandridge's ruling, they've now gone to the Supreme Court and said, no, we don't need to demote these second lieutenants. Everything is wrong. And so that's what the legal fight and throughout the summer, this has played out. Okay. But what we found in the Daily Memphian, and this is the interesting thing here, is essentially after Dandridge ruled for the union, the union and the city, according to public records we obtained, engaged in very substantive settlement negotiations that would have resolved this issue. They would have, A, made the second lieutenants part of the bargaining unit. Okay? They would have pushed the first lieutenants would have been not. The second lieutenants would have been put in. They also would have given sergeants, okay, they would have given them raises. Okay, so the people that got maybe passed over that were sergeants that were waiting to go to lieutenant, and then the second lieutenant position gets created, would have gotten a raise, okay? But then it would have also tightened hiring promotional standards, okay? The city, what the city was getting in this negotiation, according to this draft agreement that we got, was essentially for a whole slew of things that cops are not supposed to do that you get suspended for. If you had been suspended 6 or more days for a bunch of relatively serious infractions, you, within the past 2 years of you applying for rank and testing for rank, you weren't going to get in. Okay. Right now, there is no restriction on that. You can test for rank and be promoted if you've had 6 or more days or any type of suspension. Right.
Yep.
And so that was what the city was going to get. And essentially, from the documents we obtained, the union said, wait, we won in court. We're rejecting your offer. Okay. We look forward to you essentially doing what the court told you to do. And so things fell apart. And so since then, this was in March and April, right after Dandridge ruled in Shelby County Circuit Court. Since then, the city of Memphis has essentially been going to every court that they need to get this stopped, right? And so what we published today is this idea that this thing almost resolved itself pretty quietly in March and April. And instead, here we are with the very powerful police association and the city of Memphis administration fighting essentially before the Supreme Court of Tennessee.
It's a fascinating deep dive into what the two sides of this dispute want or might want or what it are willing to give or whatever. Because I'll be honest, I didn't understand what the hell the fight was about at all. And then to see where the lines were drawn. Yes, we're willing to do this, not do this. And it all comes, it's what Mayor Young said, this is, and maybe this is just a philosophical dispute at the root of it all. He said operational issues we should be able to decide as the city. And the union says, yeah, I'm sorry, this isn't operational. This is within the realm of collective bargaining, and you're wrong. That seems to be the broader philosophical dispute at the heart of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, Jeff. And that's sort of like the illustration of the power dynamics that are at play here, right? Where essentially you have a very powerful police union saying, oh, you want to create a new rank? Well, no, you have to bargain that with us. And that's what's happening here, right? And the city of Memphis is like, we want to just work our own police department. Right. We want to, you know,
we're trying to fight crime.
We run
the
organization.
Yeah.
We want to run it. And so it's a very fascinating, and it shows like these dynamics that exists in Memphis politics, and I don't think people are always fully aware of unless they're like touched by it, right? And it's very interesting because these are the things that are dictating how the city is spending tax dollars. How, you know, the amount of tax dollars that we've spent now on legal bills is probably not small, right? And it's certainly maintenance at some facility worth of legal bills. And so it is very interesting, and we're glad to give that to the public today.
Read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Sam, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian on Twitter or X at Sam Hardiman. We've got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Appreciate John Martin, Chris Harrington, Sam Hardiman, all joining us. It's been a busy day. Not as busy it's going to be for George, though, who's got, so we're 2 hours in, 5 more hours of sports talk radio to go. How you feeling? How you holding up?
Feeling good. It's still early in the day.
We didn't discuss, Travis Hunter said his nickname is the unicorn. It's not very original.
No.
He is a unicorn, though, in a way that a lot of, here's the thing. Like, people will describe Jaren Jackson Jr. as a unicorn. Like, he's not. You know, he's just not. A unicorn is something that you never see, doesn't exist, whatever. Like, you can't believe. It's a horse with a horn on it. That doesn't exist, right? A player who plays both ways doesn't. Like, he deserves the unicorn more than lots of players to whom the unicorn nickname or description has been affixed, right? If anyone deserves it, it is Travis Hunter. Anyway, what's coming up next on 92.9?
All right, we've got Coach Norton Hurd IV coming up with Jason John at 1:25. CJ Hurt joins myself and Kevin Cerrito at 3:30. David Cobb joins the Gabe Kuhn Show this afternoon.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll hope George is back tomorrow. For now, our work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.